All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. It is our Christmas program 2023. Holy mackerel, how did we get to this point? Yes, welcome. Today's program we've got lined up for you actually is a replay of a program that we did back in 2012. So you don't think that Veterans Radio has been on that long, do you? Right? Well, you know, we are in our 20th year. Anyway, to get back to this. So back in December of 2012, we had Senior Vice President of the USO and Air Force Veteran John Hansen on our program. And we talk about, you know, the USO, its history, you know, what it's been doing in the past and where it's going in the future. And we also interspersed a number of different segments, I guess you could say, of Bob Hope, because how can you do the USO without talking about Bob Hope, depending on your generation, of course. Ours, you know, in the Vietnam generation, we got to see him. Of course, what he did in World War II is just, you know, yeoman's duty. Can't think of how many years he's missed Christmas with his family. But anyway, so that's what we're going to be highlighting today on our program. We're also going to be, at the end of the program, we're going to be playing a little medley by the U.S. Army Band, a series of Christmas songs. And I just think that you're going to really enjoy listening to this program. And so I want you to make sure that you stay tuned. You know, we can't do this program without your support and without the support of our sponsors. So I want to make sure that I do thank them, especially at this time of year. So first of all, I want to thank Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans specializes in veterans disability claims. Call Legal Help for Veterans at 800-693-4800. Or you can go to their website, Legal Help for Veterans. The National Veterans Business Development Council, better known as NVBDC, the nation's leading third-party authority for certification of veteran-owned businesses. For more information, go to their website, that's nvbdc.org, or give them a call at 888-237-8433. The Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan. For more information, you can go to va.gov/Ann Arbor Healthcare. I also want to make sure that we don't forget our local organizations for their long, long time support. We've got the Irwin Press Corps and American Legion Post 46 and the Charles S. Kettles Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 310, both of Ann Arbor, Michigan. So as I mentioned, we're going to be replaying our program from December of 2012, where we're talking with John Hansen from the USO, and we're going to be playing a number of segments from some Bob Hope shows that were actually, I think someone go back to World War II. So, you know, sit back, pour yourself a cup of coffee, and I think you'll enjoy this. We hope you'll enjoy this. From all of us here at Veterans Radio, we wish you a very, very happy holiday season, a very Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next year. So here we go, Bob Hope.
What better topic to talk about than the USO? For all of you who have been in the service, we all are familiar with the USO and their programs that they put on around on bases around the world, some of their USO clubs in various airports where we could stop and stay and have a relaxing time and get out of the hubbub of a regular old airport. So coming up in just a little bit, we're going to have John Hansen, who is a senior vice president and Air Force veteran, and he will be on talking about the history of the USO and what it means to us and what it means to the country. And I think it's very important that everybody out there, I know you're always looking for organizations to support, and the USO is a great one. They've been around for 70 years, and we're going to take a look at the history of the USO. And I encourage you, if you've had the opportunity to see a USO show or stop at one of their centers at the airports, I'm going to play a clip that I found on YouTube yesterday. Unfortunately, you can't see the photographs that go along with it, but you'll be able to find it if you want to at some point. And it was put up there by an organization or a gentleman called Answer So Lucky, and it runs about 8 minutes, but it talks a little bit about the USO and, of course, the iconic Bob Hope. So, Nina, let's hear this right now.
Bob Hope was not only a great comedian, he also was a great hero. what he did for this country in times of crisis will always be remembered.
I just want you boys to see what you're fighting for, that's all.
I was on radio at NBC, and the producer said, they want you at March Field next year. I said, what's March Field? He said, that's an Air Force base in Riverside. I said, well, what do we do there? You know, there's no war or anything. He said, well, they want you down there. It's a great audience.
There you are, Coney. You're down on your knees with 12 suitcases on your back. What are you going to do now?
Well, no sense wasting a position like this. Get out the dice.
And the audience was so great. I said, wait a minute. How long has this been going on? And Christmas time, war started. Then it became dramatic. We went 5 straight years all around the world just doing troops, doing troop shows. One of the greatest things that ever happened to me.
Well, here I am in London, but here we are on the USS Boxer.
Here I am in Alaska.
Colorado Springs.
Guam.
Tokyo.
Here we are in Incirlik, Turkey. Incirlik, that's a Turkish word meaning don't knock it, at least Vietnam. Uban. Kakli. Karat. Achukuchi. Utapad. Van Rang Dang Dang. Chung Ching Chung Kang Air Base. I'm very thrilled to be here on... Where are we?
I was a little kid during the Second World War, and had these really vivid memories of sitting by the radio and listening to Hope.
Some night.
Some night.
Some park.
Some park.
Some moon.
Some moon.
Some bench.
Some bench.
Some grass.
Some grass.
Some do.
I do.
Right away, you know?
The soldiers and sailors that he was entertaining were a real part of the show. You heard these people who were starved for entertainment, starved for some feeling of normal life again. And you heard this tremendous outpouring of energy from them.
Bob Hope, when he came to entertain the troops, it made us, and it probably made other troops feel the same way, made them forget for a little bit the killing and the dying that was taking place, even though it was for just a short time.
What's the difference between you and an idiot?
Well, for one thing, you don't have a mustache.
Such a thrill for me, all these men whistling and screaming.
Yeah, they've been in the jungle too long.
Hey, a little girl, comb your hair, fix your makeup. Soon he will open the door.
He was not interested in anything but pleasing those people.
When you went out on the stage, the acceptance was beyond a great audience, you know, that was going to give you a standing ovation before you even opened your mouth.
Say, Bob, am I standing in the right place?
Don't worry, honey. If you're not, they'll move the bass.
I don't know what I'm doing here, Bob. I can't sing and I can't dance.
Oh, just stand there. They'll do the singing and dancing. All right.
He kept the morale up. That was what his job was, to keep that morale up for everybody.
I'll give you 8 bars to make your fame and fortune. Otherwise, it's back to the swamp. Go.
I met Mr. Hope, and he wanted me to try a few bars of White Christmas.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
He kind of stunned me with his reaction because he said,
you know, Crosby's got kids everywhere. I don't know what you guys did to get here, but let that be a lesson to you.
He brought a little bit of home 10,000 miles away, and especially at Christmas time.
Is Specialist 4th Brian H. O'Connell here? Where is he? Would you come up, please?
I went over to Vietnam approximately in June or July of 65. My wife was about 6 months pregnant.
Just before we got on the plane, his wife brought this over to us. And here's a picture of twins, his twins that he's never seen.
I had no idea what they looked like. I just knew that they were twin boys.
And I just want you to take a peek at these little kids. It's the first time he's ever seen them.
My dad didn't like to talk about Vietnam much from his personal experiences. But one thing Dad did talk about from the war was receiving the picture on stage with Bob Hope.
Congratulations.
And when Bob gave me the brag book, I was proud, really proud of him, you know, and I thought it was great. I appreciate it very much. You know, it's a great feeling.
The whole front row, I mean, the whole front section was always the guys that had, like, a plasma drip going in.
And they would be in beds. You knew that this was serious business. And to hear them laugh.
You remember me, Rosemary's Baby?
Oh, my faithful old nurse.
Yeah. You know, this isn't such a bad part. What the hell is all that firing over there? General, will you call off this stuff, this war, while we're on, please?
He would walk into a hospital, and only he could do this. I mean, he would lead the gang. It was five women and myself and Peter Leeds and Les Brown, and we all, big troop. And he'd walk in there. His opening remark was, "Don't get up, fellas."
You were seeing kids that had their arms and legs removed. You were seeing guys that had the whole front of their bodies sewn up with great big staples this thick.
I broke down and cried. And he took me aside and gave me a lecture. This isn't why we're here. They want lightness. They want a joke. They want you to pretend that nothing is wrong.
Mini skirts are bigger than ever. Even some of the fellas are wearing them. Don't laugh. If you'd have thought of it, you wouldn't be here.
I think one of the most emotional shows I ever played was when I played for the 1st Marine Division in Pavuvu down in the South Pacific, because we were playing an island called Bonica, and this fellow flew over and said, "Could you possibly do an extra show for the 1st Marine Division? They've never had a show, and they would really love to see you, and they're going to invade Peleliu." And so we flew over the next morning, and you knew when you walked out there that you're playing for 15,000 kids, that a lot of those guys you never see again. And as it worked out, 60% of those kids were knocked off in this invasion of Peleliu.
And we're back. And that was a segment about Bob Hope and the USO shows. Actually, we've got a call on the line. I've got Rob Winter calling from Saline, Michigan. And Rob, you were called in because you went to a USO show.
Yeah, I was in Vietnam in 70 and 71. I was in the Army, and I got the luck of the draw. We had in our company, I don't remember what the allocation, but it was probably only three or four people, but we put our names in the hat, and my name came up, and so I was lucky enough to get to go to one of the famous Bob Hope Christmas shows. So of course, this happened in December of 1970, and I was in the AmeriCal division, so I was in the 3rd Battalion in the 1st Infantry, and what started out, we got the chopper took us back to our fire base, which was Fire Support Base 411 or 411, and from there, then they flew us back to Chu Lai, which was the AmeriCal headquarters. Well, I think that was the point. What started there on the way to Da Nang, where the U.S. Show was being held, which was about a three-hour ride, about 90 miles up Highway 1. We had all been stripped of our weapons, and this was probably the first time for all the guys in this huge convoy that we were without weapons, and it was we all kind of felt naked.
Oh, I'm sure.
And we got trucked up. I guess one of the interesting things, too, along the way, you know, in Vietnam, there were no, highway rest stops. So what would happen, they would stop the whole convoy, and everyone would get out and literally go to the side of the road, and there was, as far as you can see, both directions, there were GIs
okay.
doing their thing. So that was you can't forget that picture. I mean, you know, I don't know. We got up there, and this show was, I remember a couple things. Of course, the show had Bob Hope with, just like you were playing in the clip, some of his jokes. But he had Ursula Andress, who, of course, had been very famous for the Bond movie, the Dr. No Bond movie. Lola Falana, who was a dancer. Gloria Loring, who was a good singer at the time. I think it was Jennifer Hostein, who was Miss World, anyhow, 1970. Johnny Bench was also there, baseball player. And, of course, Les Brown and his band of renown. But I think myself, what I think most of the guys truly liked the best was the Gold Diggers group that he brought along. If people don't know, of course, this was the, right at the end of the 60s, 70s, and they were all in their hip huggers, go-go boots, very tight, showing a lot of leg, and I think everybody thought, because they were, for a lot of the guys, it's the first time they'd truly seen an American girl for a long time. And I think they were the hit of the show, if you want to know the truth. At least that was from my perspective. So,
well, Rob, what did the Bob Hope show mean to you in looking back at it?
Well, of course, for me, it was a great, great break, a couple days. Like I said, it was scary both going and coming because we were vulnerable, but luckily we weren't attacked. They did have they had some helicopter cover on the convoy. But the show itself was morale. I mean, all the guys there, it was, just terrific to see those people coming out to, support the troops and, giving of their time. So, meant a lot, so.
Well, Rob, I want to thank you very much for calling in, and have a very Merry Christmas this year, too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Same to you and everyone at Veterans Radio.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to have John Hansen from the USO on to talk about the history of the USO and what they did in the past and what they're doing today. You're listening to Veterans Radio. And that, of course, was the Andrews Sisters, for those of us that are old enough to remember. And I was trying to come up with some tunes for the current USO tours, and unfortunately I got sidetracked, as I normally do when I'm trying to pick music of songs that I heard when I was in the service or when I was growing up, and my dad would talk about the USO shows. And unfortunately I didn't get to go to the US show that was in Long Bend in 1969. I was working that day, and we were flying, actually we flew over or near until we were told by air traffic control to get out of the area. And it was an amazing sight, with probably 20,000 GIs down in this bowl, and down in the middle of it was this little tiny stage, and you could see just these little people running around. And I was able to find some of that on YouTube. And for those of you that are really interested in looking at some of these older programs, YouTube is a great source for the information. They got a lot of clips of Bob Hope. They have a lot of clips of today's USO shows. So I would encourage you to do that, but not yet. And right now, coming on to the Veterans Radio program is John Hansen. And John is a senior executive with the USO organization. And John, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Dale. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. And thank you so much for your organization and what they do for the troops that are active duty and, of course, what they do for us that look back at this and just can't thank you, the USO, enough for what you did over in Vietnam, in my case, and all over the world. So tell me a little bit about how the USO came about.
The USO was created in early 1941. In February of 1941, President Roosevelt combined the operations of six nonprofit organizations that helped troops, did morale work in World War One, and he said his thought was it would be better if they coordinated their activities. If you look at the USO logo, you'll see six stars, and that is sort of our salute to those six founding organizations that were pulled together. And the whole idea was that the military was expanding, bases were opening all over the country, and there needed to be a coordinated effort to provide morale services and recreational activities for troops at these bases to keep them occupied when they weren't in training.
Well, you know, I'm stuttering here because I'm just fascinated about the whole USO thing and how they got started. We heard in the clip that I played that, you know, Bob Hope got started actually before World War II began when he was asked to go to a camp in California.
Yeah, he went to what is now March Air Force Base, March Field, and the story was he really sort of fought it. He said, "Why can't we just bring some troops to the studio?" Mm-hmm. And his producer said, "No, you really need to go out there." And he discovered that there was a great audience that he hadn't even anticipated, and it started his activities. He was on the road nonstop during the war, and as we all know, even afterwards, he did USO tours up through the first Gulf War.
Well, now Bob Hope, of course, wasn't the only one that was, you know, going around the world putting on these programs. You also had programs going on in the States with some of these things called the Stage Door Canteens. Can you tell me a little bit about those?
Yeah, the Stage Door Canteens were actually started, I think, by John Garfield and Betty Davis as an effort for Hollywood to get involved in the war effort. And troops stationed around the country would go to these before USO clubs were at these locations. They would go to these locations and be served a meal. There'd be some dancing, some entertainment, and they'd happen to be waited on by a celebrity. My father is a World War II veteran and was in San Francisco, and it's interesting. The one memory that stood out for him during the war was being served a sandwich by Sophie Tucker at the USO in San Francisco. It means a lot for these for troops still, for celebrities, somebody, as they say, who doesn't have to be here to show up and do something on their own, do something nice.
Well, I don't think that many people are really aware of how many entertainers have been going on USO tours since, you know, over the last 70 years, but even up till today. Can you think of some of the entertainers that have been in Afghanistan and Iraq?
Well, with Robin Williams and Lewis Black, Kid Rock is probably one reason you didn't want to pick any music. Kelly Pickler, the country singer, just finished her sixth USO tour this week. She got back on Tuesday from Afghanistan. Trace Adkins has gone for us a number of times. Toby Keith goes every spring for us, and he insists that while he doesn't mind doing large shows at large bases, that he won't go unless he can go to some forward operating bases. So we have to engineer a tour to make sure that he gets to some really small locations, and he takes him and his guitarist out to entertain troops. Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders are on tour now. They've been going on tour since Vietnam, especially this time of year. They have been going to Japan and Korea. This year they're going to the Persian Gulf area. And so we sort of run the gamut, and we're delighted that celebrities still step up. Gary Sinise has gone around the world for us I don't know how many times, taking either going by himself just to talk to troops or taking the Lieutenant Dan band with him. Mm-hmm. So it's a big roster.
Well, I just think it's amazing, and I want people to really understand that these people are volunteering to go over there. And in fact, one of the clips that I was listening to with Bob Hope, you know, he said, yeah, he went back and they asked him to go again, and I said okay, and he went off and did these shows. I'm always amazed at the programs that they put on and the reception that they got, and that, you know, that he gave up his Christmas for, you know, what, 40 years to put on these programs. And many of these people today are following in those footsteps. Well, if we look at the USO during World War II and, you know, what they did, of course, traveling around the world for those 4 years, what happened to the USO after World War II?
Well, in 1947, as the military was being pared back, Harry Truman gave the USO an honorable discharge and thanked the USO for its services. And over the next couple of years, the USO wound down its service, its activities around the world until 1950. And when the Korean War started, the USO was once again asked to do what it had done in World War II, and we've been going strong ever since.
Well, in Korea, of course, we had the flyer that I sent around. I found a picture of Marilyn Monroe and found out that she had gone to Korea a couple of times. And, of course, the entertainers and Bob Hope, of course, went to Korea. And I had an email from one of our listeners that said that he had seen Bob Hope in Korea, and it just meant so much to him to see the program and, you know, being all these, you know, American guys are overseas, and Bob Hope brings over all these, you know, these young American women, and they say, oh, you know, this is what you're fighting for. And it's kind of interesting. Go ahead, John.
Dale, Marilyn Monroe went to Korea. She and Joe DiMaggio were in Japan, and she decided that she wanted to go to Korea and went over there, and she came back. The story is that she said, Joe, you can't imagine what it's like to have thousands of people yelling your name. And he said, oh, yes, I can.
Yeah, I would say so. it's probably a little bit of a different experience for most of the movie people anyway, to have people yelling and screaming your name at you. And just it was amazing when I was listening to these clips. And again, I encourage people, if you want to find out more about some of these shows that the USO put on, you can find them, of course. But I had to, when I was editing them out, I would edit out sometimes 2 and 3 minutes of the troops just cheering, just because.
And that hasn't changed. Those shows, and your audience needs to understand, the one thing that they do know about the USO is probably our entertainment tours, and it's about 10% of what we do. It's a huge 10%, and it's extraordinarily important. People today in Afghanistan this time of year, we take a tour over there. They'll wait for 3 or 4 hours in the snow and sit through a 2 or 3 hour show. It means that much to them, and the response is exactly the same. It's noisy, it's boisterous, and it's one reason that once we get a performer to go on a tour, we don't have trouble recruiting that performer again.
Well, I guess here's a question I come up with. What about security for these people? That's got to be, you know, the guy that called in, Robbie's, you know, he's saying, you know, they took us in there. Of course, they don't want us to bring our weapons into the show.
Oh, well, now they do.
Oh, okay.
The weapons are all cleared, but Robin Williams said that the most sobering event occasion he ever had was when he walked out into, I think, Iraq, and the whole front row was armed. He said it's an incentive to do well.
I was going to say, it's not a program that, you know, pardon the pun, you don't want to bomb at that one. That's for sure. You mentioned that the entertainment portion of the USO is only 10% of what you really do. We got about 3 minutes, so we're going to take another break, John. But give me some of the other activities that the USO is involved with.
Well, we operate at 160 locations around the world. You mentioned in your run-up the USO centers at airports. We have USO centers at the major airports in the United States. We also have them around the world. We have 9 USO centers in Afghanistan. That's where most of our traffic is right now. Those centers get about between 8 and 9 million visits a year from troops and family members, and they're important connections back home for troops and for families that are stationed overseas. So the biggest part of what we do happens at our USO centers around the world, and we'll be opening a new one in just a few months in Nashville, and we'll talk a little later about a big project that we're putting on in the Washington, D.C. area at a couple of military hospitals.
Okay. And in these last 2 minutes, I'm just going to read an email that I got from Al Wood. And Al Wood is in Australia, and he was in Vietnam with the Australian military. And he said that after a recent visit to Washington, D.C. for the 30th anniversary of the wall, one more gem awaited us as we departed Dulles International Airport for home. On arrival off the coach from the city, we passed a sign to a USO lounge. It caught my eye, and I delved deep back into my memory, and I had been into a USO club in Vung Tau, South Vietnam, way back in 1969. So once relieved of our luggage, we had some 3 hours to kill, and I went back and asked if an Allied Forces veteran in Vietnam was eligible to go. And, of course, when I showed them some idea to prove I was a veteran, they manning the lines. They said, welcomed us to come in with open arms, and it sure beat the heck out of sitting in the departure lounge. So there was a fridge full of beverages, a microwave, an offer with any range of frozen meals, coffee, lounge chairs, TV, quiet room with beds there in to nap if necessary, and internet, PCs, and telephone calls to anywhere in the world were offered. All of this at no charge. Priority security check-in was also given to us. And he said that they later found chocolate sweets stuffed into the jacket pockets on their flight home. And he just wanted to say, apparently this USO facility is also offered at many other airports across the USA. It should be kept in mind. The ladies were there, were so hospitable and welcoming. But Barbara, when his wife Barbara says, we were very impressed. Thank you very much, he says.
So that's a great story. Thank you for sharing that.
And I think that that's just the way that the USO is. We're going to be coming up and taking a break here in a minute, John. I'm going to play another little segment after this break of one of the Bob Hope shows where he's talking with Nguyen Cao Ky. For those of you that were in Vietnam, you'll recognize that. But I think it's important that you listen. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. First Lieutenant Jack Jacobs, although seriously wounded, made repeated trips across an open rice paddy, evacuating wounded and their weapons. Details after this.
As a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, joining IAVA.org really helps in the transition home. It's a network of OIF and OEF vets like me who've got your back here, just like we did over there. That means when you need help navigating the GI Bill, we've got your back. And when you're dealing with the transition home, we've got your back. Or when you just want someone to share stories with, we've got your back. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org. We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
Jacob served as an assistant battalion advisor in Kien Phong Province, Republic of Vietnam. The battalion was advancing when it came under intense heavy machine gun and mortar fire. Jacobs called for and directed airstrikes on the enemy positions. Due to the intensity of the enemy fire and heavy casualties to the command group, including the company commander, the attack stopped and the friendly troops became disorganized. Wounded by mortar fragments, Jacobs assumed command of the company, ordered a withdrawal from the exposed position, and established a defensive perimeter. Despite heavy bleeding from head wounds that impaired his vision, Jacobs returned under intense fire to evacuate a seriously wounded advisor to safety, where he administered life-saving first aid. He then returned through heavy automatic weapons fire to evacuate the wounded company commander. Jacobs made repeated trips across the fire-swept open rice paddies, evacuating wounded and their weapons. On three separate occasions, Jacobs drove off Viet Cong squads who were searching for Allied wounded and weapons, single-handedly killing three and wounding several others. His action saved the lives of a U.S. advisor and 13 Allied soldiers. The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
The war had been going on for 2 years, and I got the calling. I got the calling to join the service and support the boys over there.
Thousands of American troops have come home from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, suffering the effects of post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injuries.
I never thought that I would have PTSD. I thought that I had enough coping skills.
I don't think anybody who goes into combat could ever honestly say that they're not different when they come home.
What you take as a simple thing is not so simple for me anymore.
I'm going to have my good days and my bad days, and I really don't like those bad days.
I would say to those people that are out there, don't brush this aside and don't count us out.
Help the USO support these troops and their families. Donate today at giveuso.org. The wounds are invisible. The stories are real.
Here's the show I still don't believe. The largest GI audience I ever played to. The nicest Christmas present we ever got. Some say 30,000, some say 28. You come. I'm going out to grab them before I lose a single one. Merry Christmas. I just want to tell you it's great to be back here in General Westmoreland's ranch. General Westmoreland went to see the president. I guess it didn't work out. He's back.
his face is loaded with brass. One PFC spent his whole tour of duty trying to salute his way out of the washroom. They don't have this many stars at the Academy Awards, and there's just as much jealousy. Enough about my problem. Now, Vietnam is less than half the size of California and the same shape. So why doesn't Ronald Reagan come over here and straighten the whole thing out? But this is Christmas Day. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing here in Vietnam, and there's a great holiday spirit. This morning, a perfect stranger handed me a gift beautifully wrapped. I can't get over the way he tied the fuse into a bowl. Vietnam is the only place in the world where you can get a Purple Heart opening your Christmas presents. And Santa's afraid to come to Vietnam. Last year he only got as far as the first hole and he was picked up by the MPs.
After the show, the man, all four stars, General Westmore, came up on stage.
I want to thank you and your talented troupe for a wonderful show. There's a very distinguished gentleman in the audience who has seen Bob's show for 4 years. At this time, I would like to introduce the Vice President of the Republic of Vietnam, Nguyen Cao Ky. So I would like to take this opportunity to express to all my fellow fighters, on behalf of my people, my country, our gratitude. We know how big your sacrifice. We know how big your dedication. I'm sure the generation of Vietnamese today and those to come will remember you. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and that was a Bob Hope show in Long Bin. And I just thought it was interesting for those of you out there who, you know, wondered how the Vietnamese felt about our troops being there for so long. I like that comment. It kind of made me feel good when I heard that from Nguyen Cao Ky. We're talking with John Hanson, who is the Senior Vice President of the USO and is an Air Force veteran himself. John, we were talking earlier not only about what the entertainers do and what the facilities are that the USO provides around the world, but what else is the USO doing to help America's veterans?
Over the past couple of years, we've started a project we call Operation Enduring Care. We realized that one of the USO's great traditions was to be at military hospitals around the world, and we're actually with these troops today when they're wounded in Afghanistan. We're at Kandahar at the big hospital and at Bagram. We're at the combat stress clinics around Afghanistan. When the troops come back through Germany and stop at Landstuhl, we have a USO center that is part of the Landstuhl Army Hospital there that provides a break not only for the people who are in the hospital, but for the troops' caregivers and for the medical personnel there. And we have been operating at military hospitals since the end of the Second World War, but we wanted to ramp up that activity. So we are, in about 5 weeks, we will open the first of our warrior and family centers. Two of them we're building now. One, the first will be at Fort Belvoir, Virginia, just south of Washington. The second one will be built next year at the new Walter Reed military facility in Bethesda. In Bethesda, Maryland. But these centers will be very large, the largest USO centers in the world. But bigger, what's more important than how big they are is that we think they'll be offering some hope. Right now, troops that any of us who've ever been in the hospital know that after 3 or 4 days, the hospital wants you out and you want out, and it's really unusual to stay at a hospital for a long time. An amputee at Walter Reed, for example, is there for an average of 18 months, and that amputee's world is pretty much his or her hospital room, the rehabilitation facility, and whatever surgical suite he or she may have to go to. So we wanted to provide a place not just for the troops to go during their recuperation, but also for families to begin to the process of starting their lives after the, for what comes after the military. So we'll have continuing education, a place to watch movies, a place for kids to play. There'll be kitchens there so they can prepare home-cooked meals. They won't be residential facilities, but there'll be areas of respite, a place to deal with what is sometimes an enemy none of them anticipated, which is despair. So thanks to the generosity of some of our donors and some great corporations, we'll open the first center at Fort Belvoir in early February. The second one will be built and completed, we hope, by the end of 2013.
Wow. I make sure you let us know about that, because that sounds like a great opportunity to do a program about what the USO is doing in addition to providing entertainment for our troops.
Well, these centers are in the middle of a campus of where troops are recovering, and you were generous enough to air a USO PSA about the invisible wounds of war, and we're working closely with the National Intrepid Center of Excellence for Traumatic Brain Injury to make sure that we can add whatever value we can to the programs they offer, whether it's art therapy, a place to put on a program. We work cooperatively with a lot of great nonprofits, and we're proud to do that. And this is our step into making sure that troops and wounded, ill, and injured troops and their families have a place to recover and to get started, to look down the road and take on the challenges when they go home.
Well, I certainly appreciate what the USO is doing, and also to talk a little bit more about how we as private citizens now can help the USO. What do we need to do? Is the USO a government agency?
Never has been, and it will shock no one that after the USO was formed during World War II, the War Department decided it was a great target of opportunity. And President Roosevelt said that if it is not supported by the American public, it doesn't deserve to exist. And so we have been a private, not-for-profit organization since our founding, and several government studies afterwards said that if there weren't a USO, they'd have to create one. We're supported by millions of individual donors and dozens of really great American corporations who help us do what we do.
Well, we're going to coming up on a break here in a couple of minutes, John, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about some of the other things that the USO does and how people can donate money to help out the USO. I think it's such a valuable resource for us all to support. I mean, there are so many different organizations out there, and it sounds as though the USO is sort of acting like a clearinghouse with some of the other great organizations that are out there, too.
We work cooperatively with some really great nonprofits and add value. We add value to each other.
You're listening to Veterans Radio, and we'll be right back after this.
Thanks for the memory of sentimental verse. Nothing in my purse, and chuckles when the preacher said, for better or for worse.
How lovely it was. Thanks for the memory of Schubert's serenade, little things of jade, and traffic jams, and anagrams, and bills we never paid.
How lovely it was. We who could laugh over big things.
And that, of course, is Bob Hope again, because Bob Hope to many of us, was and is the face of the USO, although that has changed dramatically today. And we have many other entertainers who are out there, as our guest, John Hansen, who is a senior vice president with the USO, talked about. And one of the ones that I always hear about is Gary Sinise. Can you tell me a little bit about his involvement? Because, boy, I tell you, it seems like he's everywhere.
Gary's a great guy. He, obviously, his experience in Forrest Gump got him interested in military service. He's got a number of family members who served. I think his brother served during Vietnam. And you might not know that he was very active in Chicago, in his hometown, to in veterans issues. So early in this war, we asked him to go on our first USO tour to Iraq, and we haven't been able to stop him since. He plays bass in a rock and roll band that he's called the Lieutenant Dan Band, and we've taken that band around the world as well to entertain troops and family members. He's one of the most generous people in the business, and we'll do just about anything we ask if he's available. He's a great guy.
Well, we certainly here at Veterans Radio appreciate what Gary does, not only for the USO, but how he has supported veterans all along. I just think it's wonderful.
Yeah, he was one of the speakers at the Disabled Veterans for Life Memorial, groundbreaking a year or so ago, and he's been a big supporter of that memorial. He's a veteran's friend, and he's a friend of troops and families.
Well, and there are many more like him, and I can't even go through all the names, and I'm sure you couldn't either. We were talking, and when I was looking at the USO website, which is uso.org, you can go on there and make a donation still in time for Christmas. But you had an interesting thing on your site about that you can give money in different denominations for different gifts for veterans. Could you talk just briefly about that?
I think you're talking about the USO Wish Book. We started it November of last year. It's an online alternative giving catalog, and it gives donors an opportunity to give symbolically gifts in a number of price points, including this year we added some gifts for wounded warriors. So you can for $60, for example, you can provide a flight home comfort kit that has blankets, airplane pillows, those kinds of things, and you can even we've got gifts there that will help troops write a resume, or get some job counseling, or send a military kid to camp. These are opportunities for people to give to the USO, but to target their gift to something that's meaningful to them. So these are virtual gifts, and we talk to our troops and our families all year long to find out what's important to them, and we try to make that happen.
Well, I thought that was a wonderful program when I saw that. And the other thing I know you can do is that you can make donations in honor of somebody.
Yeah, you can make a gift in honor of a family member, someone who's no longer with us. And if it's for a family member, they'll get a card that will let them know that somebody has donated to the USO in their honor.
I know that's how I got involved. It's John, I want to thank you so very much for being on Veterans Radio today. And if there's anything that we can ever do to help out the USO, don't hesitate to give us a call, and we'll be there to help you as much as possible.
Well, Dale, we appreciate the opportunity to be with you, and wish all your listeners the best for the holidays and the new year. We'll be talking with you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, and a Merry Christmas to you and yours.
And to you. Bye-bye.
All right, folks. That's the USO, and we all are familiar with the USO, and we're not going to close the program now, but I've got one more thing that I want to play from you as a clip from one of the Bob Hope programs, and we're going to play that right now, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to end up the program at that point. So, Nina, here we go.
At the end of the show, we would traditionally sing Silent Night.
It's a holiday season. You're away from home, a long way away from home. And they begin singing Silent Night, and the entire audience chimes in. And by the time you're singing the last refrain, Most men, and we were men then, had tears rolling down their eyes.
And all you could hear were people crying. They wanted a dry eye in the place.
It was beautiful, and it was happy, and it was very sad at the same time.
There was this entire audience of mostly men just in tears, and of course, we were all in tears. And I will never forget that moment, every single show.
Have a Merry Christmas, and God bless you. Bye.
Joyous, and you know, we laughed till we cried.
But there were these guys going to go, maybe a number of them were going to go die. We're all laughing together. That's a real service.
In a lot of ways, that's probably the last performance any of those guys saw. In that regard, that speaks volumes about the man.
Bob Hope is one of a kind. He's a saint, and if he isn't, he should be. God bless Bob Hope.
God bless Bob Hope, and God bless all of the people that work with the USO. And again, I encourage you, please go to their website, uso.org, and donate today. They can use the funds. We've asked these men and women to go overseas numerous times, and many of them have missed holidays with their families and their friends, and this is one way that we can support them. And the USO does a great job, and I'm not just shilling just for the USO. There are many other great organizations out there, and this is the time of year when they need your contributions, they need your donations to help out these men and women, because without these men and women, many of us wouldn't have the opportunity of being here, and our lives would probably be a lot different if we were to not support these organizations. I think what was interesting in talking with John was that, you know, the USO is an organization that is strictly volunteers. And, you know, as President Roosevelt said, well, if the American people aren't going to support an organization like this, then what's the point? Well, you know, we've got a lot of people, men and women out there, that are defending us every single day. And it's less than 1% of our population. And, we've all heard about those one percenters. Well, there's 99% of us that are not involved with the military any longer, and it's up to us to support these men and women. And I'm hoping that you will do that with your contributions to organizations like the USO and some of the other ones that are out there. This is a pretty emotional program. I didn't realize that some of these things were going to get to me like they always do. But we want to thank all of you out there for your support of Veterans Radio, and we are looking forward to another new year coming up. On behalf of all of us here at Veterans Radio, Bob, Dale, Nina, and Maria, in the control room, we want to wish all of you a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and peace on earth to all of you.
Faithful friends who are
gather near to us once more. Through the years we all will be together. If the fates are hang a shot.